Notice in Psalms 84 and look at verse number 4. Psalms 84 and verse number 4. I'm going to read one verse, then I'll pray, then I'm going to read two or three other verses to you. Psalms 84, look at verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Amen. Those that dwell in the house of the Lord will still be praising thee. Amen. Let's bow together for prayer. I pray now the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would speak to our hearts once again this morning, how you met with us this week. And I pray, God, that you'd continue working to bless. God, I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to get in your way. I want to be yielded to the Holy Ghost this morning. Our Father, I pray for our dear friends who come in, who are visitors and guests this morning. I pray, God, already they felt your divine presence. I pray, God, that, Lord, you've ministered to hearts. God, there are people who've come in with heavy burdens. And I pray, God, those burdens could be lifted at Calvary. And I pray, God, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, or girl here, that, God, the Holy Ghost would quicken them. And our Father, when they see the joy of your people, God, they'd want to know a reason for the hope that's in us. And God, I'm glad that Jesus Christ is our salvation and our song. He's our strength and our strong tower. He's our shield. God, I'm glad he's our Savior. God, I know that they could know you as Savior. I ask your blessing on our friends in the radio audience and all those who join us by the means of internet. And I pray, God, that you'd minister the hearts of every believer here today and in those mediums. I pray, God, that, Lord, that God's people could be helped and encouraged, and God, we'd have revival. God, give us a fresh burden for souls. And God, I pray, our Father, we testify of the goodness and grace of God, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. David loved the house of God. He says in this passage of Scripture that those that dwell in the house of the Lord. Now you understand that nobody literally lived in the temple worship setting. He's talking about those who abide there, those who frequent there, those who are at the house of God when they're supposed to be there. That's the crowd that will praise you. That's the crowd that as they get around the things of God and see the things of God, they're going to be rejoicing in the Lord. David loved to get to the house of God. Let me share with you a couple of the Scriptures. One other from David in Psalms 122. A very familiar passage of Scripture. And thank God for those special services at the house of God. I'm preaching to you this morning on a special service. I've had people to testify to me that this week was a very special week to them. Each service was a special service to somebody. I had one of the men here in the church said, one of the meetings one night was the greatest service he'd ever been in his life. And he's been around church a long, long time. A very special service. Now notice what David said in Psalm 122 and verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David was glad to go to the house of God. You ought to always be glad to go to the house of God. I mean, why wouldn't anybody want to go to the house of God and hear the singing and hear the word of God and be around God's people? David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, while you've heard those two Old Testament scriptures about the fact, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. David said, those that dwell in the house of the Lord will still be praising you. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, the apostle Paul is writing here in this passage of scripture, admonishing them about their assemblies and meeting together with God's people. Notice in Hebrews chapter 10, I want to begin reading with verse number 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. Now, how could we possibly do that? How is it that we could encourage one another? How is it that we can consider one another? How is it that we could provoke one another to good works? You see, basically, our old nature is very selfish. In other words, we don't want anybody else to get blessed. And we may not want to get blessed, and so we don't want them to get blessed. But Paul said, you ought to consider one another. You ought to provoke one another to love and to good works. And how do you do that? Well, look at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Now, can I say something to you? I've enjoyed the singing this week. It was tops. I mean, great singing of our folk. You had Brother Randy. I enjoyed the preaching, and it was great preaching. I tell you, Brother Randy preached like a house of fire. And for those of you who are here, as a preacher, as a man of God, I know what God did for Brother Randy. Now, God used him to bless us and to bless those who are here. But I know what was going on in his heart and life. Sometimes you preach yourself into revival. And sometimes the Holy Ghost of God comes on you and lifts those burdens and cares. And I saw that happen to Brother Randy this week. And I'm telling you, it blessed my heart. And it was a thrilling thing. And I enjoyed the good singing. I enjoyed that. But can I say something to you? Which says here, we encourage one another, provoke one another, love and good works, assembling ourselves together. I'll tell you, as a pastor, my greatest blessing was not necessarily all the singing that other folk did. It wasn't necessarily the preaching of Brother Randy, but it was you. You blessed me. I'm telling you, the tears that you wept and folk in the altar and people getting right and people rejoicing and praising God. You encouraged me. You blessed me. You provoked me to good works. Made me want to do better. And I appreciate that. And it was because we assembled together. We met together. And not forsaken, he said this, for our admonition, writing today, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. He said, you don't know what? People say, well, I'm too busy. I've got too much to do. I don't have time to go to the house of God. Well, you're exactly right. You are way too busy. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be around the people of God. You need to stay close to the house of God in the day you're living in. You need it. You need it. And as a pastor, it grieves me for folk not to be here. And not because I want to build and field, but I'm interested in your heart. I tell you, when you listen to that choir sing and you see the glow on people's face, that's what it's all about. See people get tuned in with God and get on fire for God. That's the heart cry of a pastor. He longs that for his people. And Paul said, please, 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 don't let anything keep you from assembling with God's people. You need to be there. You need that encouragement. You need the presence of God, and you need to get blessed. And if you'll be there, and he said, and exhorting one another. We exhort one another when we assemble. Now, here's the key. He said, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How many of you believe biblically and spiritually that we're coming near to the return of our Lord? Raise your hand. How many of you believe that we're nearer now than we've ever been? Raise your hand again. Well, he said this, you assemble them so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer it gets to God, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, the more you ought to meet with God's people. You're going to need it. You're going to need that encouragement. You need to be a blessing to one to another. And here's an admonition. The closer you get to the coming of the Lord. Now, some of you turned the thing the other way around. Used to, you'd go to the house of God faithful, regularly, all the time. But now you've got so many things going on, and we say we've got too many irons in the fire. Well, I'd agree with that. And the problem is you need to take some of them out of the fire and throw them over the head somewhere and be through with them. Priority. What's our priority? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I promise you, you'll have more work than you can do if you'll be faithful to the house of God. I promise you that God will meet every need you've got if you'll be faithful to the house of God. You need that. You need to be around the house of God. And he said this, provoke one another, exhort one another, and encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now watch verse 26, an interesting verse. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Isn't it interesting that just as he said, don't you forsake assembling yourselves together, he talks about willful sin. Now, I've had a lot of good friends come up to me this morning and tell me why they didn't come to the revival. I feel sorry for you. I hate you had those problems and all that, but I just hate you had it. I just hate that. But you don't have to apologize to me. I feel sorry for you because you missed something that you won't ever be able to experience again. You missed it. You just missed it. I wish you could have been here. But now, on the other side of the coin is not those who, by cause of various and sundry circumstances, but there were some who missed willfully. And I'm telling you before God this morning as I'm standing here, that's a sin before God. You made up your mind. You didn't want to encourage nobody. You didn't want to get blessed. You didn't want to be blessing. You didn't want to let anybody else get a blessing. And the worst thing is that some of you try to encourage other people not to come. And on Thursday night, Chris is sitting right over here. I had invited Brother Gary Wood from up at Rocky Mount to come first part of the week, and he couldn't come. And he had a funeral in the church and all the other things. And so he called me on Thursday morning and said, "Brother Billy," he said, I'm sorry I didn't get to come. Brother Larry Gupton's mother died and all this. And I said, "Well, you know, God's done a unique thing, Brother Gary. We're going to have service tonight, Thursday night." He said, "Well, my wife is having treatment at Duke." And he said, "If I can, I'm going to try to come down." And he said, "I want to come." And so he testified in the service. He said, "As I was driving an hour and a half down here to the service," he said, "I'd run all week long. I was tired. My wife was over at Duke having treatments." And he said, "I said to myself, what in the world are you doing? Why are you going to church on Thursday night?" And he got here, and his son Chris had testified maybe in a minute. I don't know if he knew that or not. But anyhow, Chris came to see his daddy. He told his wife. He said, "I'm going to go over to church house and I'm going to see daddy and then I'm going to leave. I ain't going to stay for the service." But he left about 1 o'clock in the morning. I saw that preacher and his son in the altar praying, and God bless him. They both weeping before the Lord. And Gary testified that he knew now why God wanted him to come. God did a work, and I thank God for that. But you know, what a shame, wouldn't it be? What, how in the world? Why would anybody willfully want to miss something like that? You might not get a thing, but praise God, I want to be here to encourage other people. My boy didn't come from Nashville, Tennessee and get right with God, but I'm a believing he is. But I want to tell you one thing. I was just as tickled, I believe, when I saw Chris and his daddy praying at that altar. It's if it had been me and Avery, I really believe that. I had a chance to pray with my grandchildren this week, and God bless me. Listen, God help us to understand that we're not playing. This is real, and we want to be a help and a blessing. We're not politicking around the house of God. I'm telling you, God's real, and you need to honor Him. Oh, listen, just think what you miss when you miss that special service. People have told me, "Boy, Brother Billy, it was a special service." But think about it. Oh, look in your Bible, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you can remember a special service in your life? Do you remember a special service? I remember, you go through month after month after, but you remember that special service. You remember the time God and the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart and you came to the altar and got saved. That was a special service. You won't ever forget it. I've heard you testify about that was a special service that you at the house of God. Some of you saw your children saved at the house of God. That was a special service. Some of you seen grandchildren saved at the house of God. That was a special service. That was just one service out of your lifetime. Your children don't get saved but one time. They don't get baptized but one time. Mamas don't get saved but one time. Grandchildren don't get saved but one time. And suppose you'd miss that one time being in the house of God when they got saved. Oh, listen, you think about that. I hear people talking about loved ones, and I know how you feel. They said, Mama's at the point of death. She's fixing to cross the river. She's going to die. And I want to be there when she dies. Well, I think that's noble. I think that's wonderful. But praise God, I want to be there when they get saved. I want to be at the altar when I want to be in the house of God when somebody I've been praying for gets right with God. I want to be at the house of God when God does things He won't ever do again. I mean, you'll miss it and you won't ever get to see it. Special services. Look here, if you will, in chapter number 12 of the book of Matthew. Let me turn over. I stopped at Luke, but let me go back to the book of Matthew, chapter number 12, and look with me, please, at verse number 9 and following. In Matthew 12, look at verse number 9. And listen to what it says about our Lord. And when he departed, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had a hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that hath one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Then he said to the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, that they might destroy him. Now, can you imagine anybody being so wicked in all your life? Here's a man. They didn't care anything about that man. They were using him as a pawn. They were using him as something to get at Jesus about. They didn't care about souls. They didn't care about this man. This poor old man had gone to the house of God. I don't know what was the problem. I don't know if he had an arthritic condition or what, but his hand was withered. And I don't know how many times. I got an idea. He's faithful to the house of God. I got an idea. He'd go into the synagogue and those religious crowd there, he'd come in. He'd get ready to go in the morning. Somebody'd have to help him get his coat on. But he wasn't going to let that keep him from getting to the house of God. He just going to be faithful. And he'd come in and he'd done got discouraged. He'd raise that old withered hand and said, "Will y'all pray for me?" He said, "I can't provide for my family and I can't work and I can't even feed myself. Will you pray that God would help me and God would help my withered hand somehow or another?" And boy, service after service, he'd get ready in the morning. It'd be just a labor. And he'd make his way down to the house of God, to the synagogue. But listen, boy, this is a special service because it's not just Pharisees showing up. It's not just the scribes showing up. Jesus showed up at the house of God. And I'll tell you, listen, here's a service. And they're going to play this man in a role of trying to accuse Jesus of something. But Jesus doesn't care about what they say about him. He came to help folk, praise God. And so he says to that man, he said, "I want to ask you all something." He says, "Is it good to do bad or good on the Sabbath day?" And he says, "That man, stretch forth your hand." And boy, he put that hand out there and it was just like that. And you know what? I got an idea just like this. Boop, woo, praise God, hallelujah. I believe that's what he did. I believe he rejoiced in the Lord. You reckon that man in heaven today can remind you of a special service when he went in and out of the synagogue many a day and didn't get anything, didn't get what he needed, but on that special service he came and God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, made him perfectly whole? I got an idea. He went all over that community waving that hand. And they said, "Hey, what happened to your hand?" He said, "Boy, I had to get the house of God. I had a special service at the house of God." Well, listen, there's a lot of folk, my friend, that don't ever get the blessing of God because they miss that special service. Don't you miss it? You don't ever know when it's going to come. You don't ever know when that special service is going to be. This fellow didn't realize when he left the house that morning that this was his day. Turn over to the book of Luke, chapter number 13. Look at Luke chapter 13 and look at verse number 10. A special service. Boy, a special service for this guy. He got his withered hand healed. And notice, if you will, please, in chapter number 13 and in verse number 10, here's a story. Oh, what a blessing this story is. It says this, "And as he was teaching, teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath." Now, you know, in an interim, now Jesus healed down by the brook and he healed out in the mountains, all those things. But so many things that God did, he did at the house of God. He did at the synagogue. My dear friend, I want you to know that God's blessed me in a lot of different places, but he's done things for me at the house of God he's never done anywhere else. And I tell you, you'll miss a blessing when you forsake the assembly of yourselves together. You'll miss it. You'll just miss it. And you don't need to miss that special service. And notice what happened. Here's another story. He's in the synagogue and he's teaching. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of an infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now I don't have to wonder what happened in that case. I'm telling you right now, that dear old lady, you'd see her, they're still coming down the street and she was bent over 18 years. She'd been in that infirmity. She couldn't even look up. She's just like this right here. Went into the synagogue and she sat there, had to stare at the floor the whole time. I got an idea that she was in agonizing pain. We got folk come to this church house and they sit in pain. Brother L.G. Green comes to the house of God faithful. And you don't have any idea. He sits there in pain all through the service. Got some other folks who come to the house of God just as faith as clockwork. And they sit there in their pain all day long. But there'll be a special service one of these days. I mean, God, listen, this dear lady comes in. Same old way it's always been. Same old crowd. Same old everything else, except one thing's different. Jesus showed up there. Jesus was there. And I'll tell you, it makes a difference when Jesus gets in the crowd and Jesus comes in and he looks at her. I don't know how many times those Pharisees or that other crowd around the synagogue went and put their arm around her and said, "Annie, we love you." And or they told you, "We love you, praying for you." They might have done all that. That's good. But you know, it's something how Jesus sees folks who've got a need and he's automatically drawn to them. The Bible said, "Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you." You know what the Bible said? The Bible said he's nigh unto them that are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. There's something about an aching heart that just draws him to him. There's something about folk with a need that draws him to him. And here's this woman, 18 years, and she's in this awful condition and bent over. And Jesus comes to her and he said, "Woman, you're loose from your infirmity." And the Bible said, boy, she straightened up, choo, and she glorified God. I mean, we're just like, praise God. I believe she just praised God and rejoiced. And she, I don't, walked out. She didn't do a little bit of a dance. Say amen right there. I believe she rejoiced in the Lord and praised God for what he did. And oh, listen. And listen, if you read on down through here, they get to fussing at him again about healing on the Sabbath and all those things. And he said, "You're a hypocrite. You just all you are. You don't want anybody else to get blessed. You're just no hypocrite." I won't spend much time on that. But thank God, God's good. He said, "Listen, God is so good." And the Lord blessed her. That's her special service. You ever had a special service? You ever come into the house of God when you had a burden on you, and you can go take me back to the place in the day when God lifted that burden? You ever been at the house of God? Listen, Brother Tim is sitting over there. And Timmy here this morning. I thought I saw him there. He's right there. Brother Tim has testified to me about a special service in this building not so terribly long ago when God touched him. And God touched him. Timmy, remember that, because he's told me about it two or three different times. He's testified to others about a special service. Don't miss your special service. Some of you are going to miss it. Some of you are going to miss it. And sad thing is, some of you might already missed it this past week. That one time when God was going to do something for you that you won't ever have a chance for him to do again. Oh, I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss my special service. Here's a woman, 18 years, but in this special service, God did something for her. Go back to the book of Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, a special service. Thank God it's a special service. God did something especially for that man with the withered hand. In that particular service at the synagogue that day, God did something for that woman. I guarantee the rest of her life, she testified. I'll tell you one thing. I was on the certain Sabbath day, I was at the house of God, and Jesus of Nazareth come by, and he made me perfectly whole. It was a special service for them. Notice in chapter 1 of the book of Mark, and notice beginning at verse number 21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered to the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout the region round about Galilee. Listen, here's a fellow who's been sitting in the synagogue for Lord knows how long with an unclean spirit in him. And nobody paid no attention to it. Nobody even knew it. Didn't recognize it until Jesus showed up. And when Jesus showed up, boy, them demons got stirred up inside of him. And I'll tell you right now, you can mark one thing. When Jesus shows up, people get blessed, they get saved, they get healed, and the demons get stirred up. And demons still get stirred up in people. Do you know that? And it just reveals what they are. That's all it does. And this guy could have went to church till doomsday until he died and everybody else died. Nobody ever would have known he was full of demons until Jesus showed up. And when Jesus showed up, it revealed what was really on the inside of him. And the Lord had such compassion, he delivered that man and he was made perfectly whole. Oh, listen, you reckon he worshiped God after that? I'm telling you right now, he praised God, worshiped and magnified the Lord right on and on. And listen, that was a special day. He'll tell you, my friend, listen, he said, "I went around with all kind of wicked, awful thoughts in me." He said, "I was in torment day and night." He said, "I'd go to the synagogue." And he said, whenever they'd read in Isaiah about he was wounded for our transgressions, he said, man, there's just something inside of me just tearing me up. He said, "I didn't love anybody, didn't care about anybody else." And he said, "I was going through a show." He said, "But there's a day that Jesus showed up and delivered me, and he's made a difference." He said, "Now the word of God's alive to me. I love folk and I rejoice and praise God." That was a special day. Do you remember when God set you free? Do you remember in the church house when God lifted your burden? Do you remember that? Listen, I remember I got saved. I had a preacher, Ted James, another preacher, came to my mama's front, to my mama's house, led me to the Lord. But I remember walking down that aisle, and I remember when I was baptized. And then a few years later, quite a few years later, I remember at Calvary Baptist Church, on Sunday night. I talked to my pastor about it, talked to Regina about it over a period of time. Felt like God called me to preach. And the choir, I was sitting in the choir, and our choir sang Then the Invitation. And we were singing that song, Out of My Bondage, Sorrow Night, Jesus I Come. And my pastor told me, he said, if you can do anything else and be happy, do that, don't preach. And I was trying to take him at his word, but I was miserable. I was miserable. But I can tell you right now, I was sitting right back here on that row, and in the row the men were in, I was about the third one in, and I was singing like everybody else, and God was tearing me out of the frame. And I remember when I came out of that choir, I came a weeping. Regina came a weeping, and my mama and her mama and all came a weeping because everybody knew what was going on. They knew. They knew that God was, boy, it's a special service for me. I remember that service. I can remember that service when I surrendered to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this little boy right here, he can remember when God set him free, and he remembered that special service when God did something especially for him. Go back with me, please. I want to tell you something. In the book of John, Brother Randy preached quite a couple of messages out of the Gospel of John, chapter 20. But I want to skip on down and read a little way further out here. Notice what it says in John chapter 20. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been resurrected. And he showed himself to Mary. And he said, I'm going to meet with my disciples. And notice what it says in chapter 20 of John in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, I know Thomas is glad that God called him to be a disciple. I know that he's glad to walk with Jesus and see all that Jesus did. And after Pentecost, no doubt God used Thomas in a real way. But I'm going to tell you right now, just as sure as I'm standing here, when all them fellas got talking about after that was over, about boy, the night we were there and Jesus showed up. I mean, the first time we saw him after he was resurrected, he just kaboom, he was in the room with us. And I mean, listen, the glow of God was on him. And they talk about what they felt and what they saw and how he spoke to them and all those things. Thomas couldn't experience any of that because he wasn't there. And for the rest of his life, he lived with the reality that Jesus came and he wasn't there. Man, I don't miss nothing. I don't miss. Somebody's telling me, listen, some of you don't, you can't imagine. I just can't imagine what God did. There were folk, we left here Wednesday night. I leave at about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And, but most everybody left, you know, somewhere after 11. Thursday night, we hit 1 o'clock. We had people who had tuned in on the internet that listened live over the internet to after midnight. Boy, they thought we was crazy, I think. But they listened to it. God moved. And I had somebody say this to me, Brother Billy, I don't think people want to leave because they're afraid they're going to miss something. And I'm telling you right now, I'm afraid I'd miss something. That's why I want to be, I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I mean, I've got favorite preachers. I got preachers I love to hear preach. I got some preachers I think they're okay. But I ain't going to miss the house of God because I'm going to hear what God's got to say to me. I don't want to miss if God does something. And even if I sit there and I don't get nothing, boy, it's worth it me going to see other folk get something. Amen. I mean, when other people get to shout and praising God, rejoicing in the Lord. Brother Randy Perry sang with his family for over 20-something years, traveled all across this country, sang in the biggest churches, biggest concert halls across this country. He pastored now, been evangelist for over 14 years, been in all-sized churches. God's blessed. Had revivals. He's telling me about being in a meeting down in Florida. Had 80 teenagers saved in one service. 80. God used him. But he testified to me sitting on his platform. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like this in all my life. He said, I remember one time when I was a boy. You think about that. I remember when I was a boy. He said, there was a service. We didn't start in the mountain. We didn't start our revival at 8 o'clock at night. He said, I remember one night that God got in a service. And he said, we went to midnight. He said, I won't never forget it. I won't ever forget it. And can I tell you, the folk who were here in this revival this week won't never forget it. And it'll stir you when you get down, discouraged. You remember what God did, a special service. But when you miss it, you miss it. I could go back and recount to you services that I've seen. I remember I've testified about it in a message I preached after our little girl had been so desperately ill. Our church began to pray, Calvary Baptist Church, and pray that God would heal Christy. She's just not quite 3 years old. Pray for me and Regina. We had good friends in that church, but we had a fellow in that church that had got crossways with the song leader. And they'd had a big Baptist blowout. He wouldn't sing in the choir anymore. He got out of the choir. and the choir would get up to sing. Brother Wayne would lead the congregation. He'd get up and lead the choir. And that fellow, when the choir gets singing, he'd take a hymn book and he'd open it like that and he'd hold it up where people could see it. And he'd thumb through the pages. He'd try to make all the racket he could while the choir was singing, just to grieve God, just grieve the services. And I remember when they get to praying, he loved me and Regina and loved Christy, and Wayne loved us too. And them guys got to praying. They wouldn't speak to one another, but they got to praying for us. I remember one service, that man over here I was telling you about with the songbook, choir got through singing, Earl Shotwell, my pastor, got up to preach. He jumped up, tears rolling in his face. He said, "Earl, I got to say something." And he come to the platform, and he called up our song leader, and he said, "I'm going to tell you something." He said, "I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. I'm sorry for all of that." And he, listen, and they hugged one another, and God blessed. I don't think I ever preached. But listen, we saw revival go out of that. We built a brand new building. The church there built a brand new building. Folk didn't never want to go home. They stayed in. And if they didn't stay at church, they'd go to houses. We've gone, be 75 or 80 people going to somebody's house after churches, kind of hang around, stay a little close. I mean, God did wonderful things there because folk got right with God. Boy, listen. I will never forget that service. I will never forget that. Boy, I was glad I was there that time. I was in camp meeting down in Florida one time at Old Mount Zion Camp. Charles came up to me one night during this thing, during what God was doing last week in revival. And he said, "Daddy, this is just like camp meeting down in Florida, except we don't have no kitchen to go to and eat after it's over." And after we'd stay up there at midnight, and they would all go down to the kitchen at camp and just sit around and talk until 3 o'clock in the morning. But listen, I remember a service. Mac Evans sang about the King is coming. Old Maze Jackson preached on the "Let's Talk About the King Coming Back." And boy, listen, God blessed in that. But more than the preaching and more than the singing of Mac Evans and the preaching of Maze Jackson, there were folk praying around that altar. There's an old boy there that we've been praying for. He's an old moonshiner. And his name is Calvin C. And Calvin was sitting on that front row. I'd talked to him, witnessed to him. Roy had, and a lot of other guys that witnessed to him. And we was praying. Folk are really praying. I mean, people getting right with God and rejoicing, praising God. But I saw Calvin Silver, son, his face doesn't turn red as a beet. He's just a staring. And I can't remember, it might have been Larry Montgomery or somebody, but I saw him when the Holy Ghost of God nudged him. They slipped up to Calvin and spoke to him for just a few seconds. Now, all over this building, there's people that praying. And when Calvin got up out of his seat and went and fell in an altar. Boy, you talking about something going off like dynamite? I mean, that's the first time I've ever shouted and run in my life. I mean, I went on out the tabernacle, went out there and round the pond, made a lap around the tabernacle a time or two. And when I come back, they was going out every door and window. I mean, they was all shouting. You say, "Well, I don't believe God's in none of that." But I'll tell you one thing. Old Calvin C. walked with God for the rest of his life, lived for God. And his old buddy, Calvin, old Steve English, old moonshiner, got saved. Steve is still living for God. When I went and preached here a while back, they had a beautiful building out that old Mount Zion campground and this beautiful addition onto it. Steve's been about to die as long as I can remember with heart trouble and everything else, but he's never missed the house of God. He's always there. And I was commenting on how beautiful the building was. And Brother Steve said, "I built this." I said, "Steve, you built it?" I said, "I didn't know you could build nothing." He said, "I did. I built this. Me and two or three other fellas." He said, "God burdened my heart and asked the pastor, could I do it?" And he said, and listen, oh, I remember the service. I remember the service when Calvin C. got saved. I'm glad I didn't miss it. That was a special service. I don't want to miss the house of God because you don't ever know when you're going to have that special service. I remember I was in Reidsville, North Carolina, preaching, and I had Dr. J. Harold Oman preaching for me in revival. An old, big old boy about this big around, crackhead. He said, "I don't know how many $100 bills I've rolled, snorted cocaine. Used to own two nightclubs, own a male strip group that traveled all up and down the East Coast. Everybody in the country was afraid of him. Great big old fella, had a beard and long hair." And I kind of came in contact with him, began to talk to him, witness to him a little bit. I wasn't afraid of him. I didn't know anything about him. But if I did, I'd probably been afraid of him, but I wasn't afraid of him. Took him fishing, talked to him about the Lord, witnessed to him. Got him to come to church two or three times. And I remember he's sitting right over here. And in that time, Dr. Loman had preached. And I gave the invitation. And God began to move. And I walked down to the front. In a few minutes, I saw the little boy tear out of there. And he come and fell in the altar. And boy, he wept. Listen, I went up, put my hand around him. I was kneeling. I had to put my arm over him like he was right here. I mean, he was just shaking, weeping and crying. And I saw Kenny Dishman get saved that service. I saw him grow in the Lord. I saw him get a haircut. I saw him start living for God. I ordained him. I saw him start preaching in the prisons. I preached the first revival he ever had in his church. And I was there in the last few days of his life. You know what they said about Kenny when he died? Brother Bobby and I went up and saw Kenny. And then Regina and I went back and saw him again before he died. We went to hospital. I sat a long time with him in hospital. He slept a lot of time. And well, the nurses said they came in that night. He's all time cutting up. He let on how many people the Lord. He called me real often and said, "Brother Bill, don't you talk to somebody?" Somebody identified the name. It was a nurse. It was an orderly or somebody. He said, "Are you Brother Bill?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "My name is so-and-so. I just want to let you know I just trusted Jesus." And Brother Dishman's just led me to the Lord. And I'm happy in Jesus now. I said, "That's wonderful." And old Kenny Dishman, the night he died, the nurses came. Said he came in. He'd been in such agony and pain. And he, for some reason or other, he said, "I'm hurting so bad. Think you might could just roll me a little bit." And they said, she came, she began to turn him just a little bit and said he broke out and went laughing. He just laughed out loud. And then he died. He died laughing. But I remember the service. I remember the service when Kenny Dishman trusted Jesus Christ to say, "I wouldn't take that, nothing for that." That was a special service to me. I was in Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. When God the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart, and I went back to Florida and started a church called Liberty Baptist Church and Victory Baptist Church. But I heard Dr. B.R. Lakin preach. God had been dealing with my heart. And that big Thomas Road Baptist Church, Dr. B.R. Lakin got up and he preached on heaven. I've never heard anything like that in all my life. And I've been in service where there was good response. But I'm telling you, before it was all over with, you could hear people just convulsing all over that service. I mean, people just crying. Some were weeping and some were shouting. Some were praising God. Before he ever got through preaching. I mean, before he got through preaching. I can't remember exactly, but I almost believe it started going before he ever closed the service. But when Dr. Lakin closed that service, I've never seen anything like it. It must have been 5,000 people there. And when they gave the invitation, 5,000 people got up. I didn't even get nowhere near the altar. I was as far as here, the vestibule, maybe the fellowship hall, to the altar. As far as I could get. I've never seen it. Just a great wave of folk. That's one of the greatest services I've been in my life. When Dr. B.R. Lakin preached on heaven. I wouldn't take anything for that service. That was a special service. And God met with us around here this week. Not because of Randy Perry. I'm glad Randy came. I'm glad he obeyed God. But God didn't meet with us just because Randy was here. He met with you, with us and met with you because you wanted God to meet with you.